in Israel's interest to destroy its neighborhood in Gaza and in Lebanon. It will create new generations of hatred, and that is bad also for Israel.
Jan Egeland, your final comment right now, just after the U.S. election has taken place, the role that the U.S. plays when it comes to what Israel is doing, and what at this point, as endless UN and humanitarian organizations saying all of northern Gaza is on the verge of death, what Israel is trying to accomplish here?
What Israel is, has a cruel military logic, which is similar to that of President Assad of Syria, when he starved out besieged areas that were filled with civilians, but also with extremist militants inside. It's the same logic now for northern Gaza, where there's total besiegements of 100,000 people. I met some women who had come out with children, and they said, we were starving, we were being bombed, we left, and when we left, we were chased by Israeli tanks. I mean, this is the reality of this area, and the U.S. that has helped us in so many countries, from Sudan to the Sahel, to Colombia, to Myanmar,
Jan, we have 3 seconds.
Not been able to help us in Gaza.
Jan Egeland, Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council, just out of Gaza. That does it for our show. A happy birthday to Diana Parra. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Support for KABU comes from our members and from local businesses. Do you have a local business or an upcoming event you would like KABU's listeners to know about? Consider purchasing an underwriting spot before your favorite KABU show. Take advantage of the best rate and audience in Portland by going online to kboo.fm/underwriting. That's kboo.fm/underwriting.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KABU Evening News.
Coming up on the KABU Evening News, Janelle Bynum will be the first Black representative for Oregon.
And Multnomah County has dropped its fourth round of preliminary ballots.
And an abortion pill website crashed as Americans rushed to stockpile the drug after Trump's election.
Good evening. This is the KABU Evening News for Friday, November 8th, 2024. I'm Sam Bowman.
And I'm Eliza Yurkov. The two tightest congressional races in Oregon have been called. Janelle Bynum won District 5 and Marie Glusenkamp-Perez won District 3. Bynum ran against Lori Chavez de Remer, a Republican who supported Trump and ran on immigration and homelessness issues. This was Oregon's most high-profile U.S. House district race. Chavez de Remer promoted immigration reform, opposed tolling Interstate 205, and claimed she was the second most bipartisan member of the House of Representatives. In May, the Lugar Center and Georgetown University's McCourt School of Public Policy ranked her 29th. Bynum said Chavez de Remer flip-flopped on abortion, voted against Social Security, and was a MAGA extremist. Bynum said she would push for stricter gun laws, lower housing and drug costs, and push for policies to curb climate change. She will be the first Black representative for Oregon. Marie Glusenkamp-Perez ran against Joe Kent, a Republican who spoke loudly for national abortion bans, supported Trump, and believed the 2020 election was rigged. Perez advocates for rural and working class people and ranked among the top 20 House lawmakers for bipartisanship.
Multnomah County dropped its fourth round of preliminary ballots this afternoon, and the leaders in the ranked choice contests in Portland have remained the same. Officials say there are some 45,000 ballots left to count. In District 1, East Portland, the leaders are environmental justice advocate Candace Avalos, former County Commissioner Loretta Smith, and former city staffer Jamie Dunphy. In District 2, covering North and Northeast Portland, the leaders are current City Commissioner Dan Ryan, former Governor's Office staffer Ilana Pertlegini, and Police Accountability Commission Project Manager Samir Kanal. In District 3, Southeast Portland, the leaders are former City Commissioner Steve Novick, public school teacher Tiffany Koyama Lane, and TikTok personality Angelita Murillo. In District 4, covering the west side of Portland and Sellwood, the leaders are policy advocate Olivia Clark, energy economist Mitch Green, and county commission staffer Eric Zimmerman. The county says the next update of ballots counted will be on Saturday.
The primary U.S. mail-order abortion pill provider's website crashed soon after the confirmation of Donald Trump's election victory on Tuesday. According to The Independent, the website Aid Access received 10,000 requests for medications for pregnancy terminations in the first 24 hours after Trump's win. Dr. Rebecca Gompertz, an abortion rights activist and founder of Aid Access, said that this is almost 15 times their average of 600 daily requests. The website crashed for about 2 hours last night and is working again today. Aid Access provides mifepristone and misoprostol pills, which are used in combination in one of the most popular medication-induced abortion methods, which can be done by an individual at home. Both medicines have been the subject of bans and attempted bans in the years since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. Despite Donald Trump saying on the campaign trail that he intends to leave the question of abortion access up to individual states, full bans on abortion have been pushed by many of his supporters. It remains to be seen what Trump will do with the executive branch, the Senate, and potentially the House in Republican hands.
Missouri voters added abortion rights to the state constitution on Tuesday, sparking reactions from both sides. The state is now the first to overturn a near-total statewide abortion ban. Crystal Blair reports.
Strong reactions are pouring in from both sides as Missouri voters made history by adding abortion rights to the state constitution. The decision to pass Amendment 3, the Right to Reproductive Freedom Initiative, makes Missouri the first state to overturn a near total statewide abortion ban. Both advocates and opponents are gearing up for future battles. Jamie Morris is a pro-life advocate and leader of the Missouri Catholic Conference in Jefferson City. He's disappointed with the passage of Amendment 3, but emphasizes his organization's pride in the conference efforts despite limited resources and vows that the fight is not over.
From the church's perspective, obviously, win or lose, we were going to continue to advocate for policy to help address the needs of women, to help them, you know, choose life to begin with, so that not only you're dealing with necessarily the supply of abortion, but also the demand.
In addition to abortion rights, Amendment 3 protects access to contraception and reproductive health services that are available. Meanwhile, pro-choice advocates in Missouri, including Planned Parenthood and the ACLU, are celebrating the passage of Amendment 3 while filing a lawsuit to block some restrictions that include parental consent for minors and continued regulatory oversight of abortion services. Maggie Olivia is with Abortion Action Missouri.
I could not be more proud of the first steps that we are taking together as Missourians to dismantle the decades of political infringements on our access to abortion and, frankly, all reproductive care.
Missouri was among 9 states that included an abortion rights measure on the 2024 general election ballot. Amendment 3 officially takes effect in Missouri on December 5th. For the Missouri News Service, I'm Crystal Blair.
Oregon will receive $40 million in an opioid settlement with Kroger. It's the latest in a string of opioid settlements overseen by Oregon State Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum. Kroger operates QFC and Fred Meyer in Oregon. The payments will be made over 11 years, starting in 2025. The Oregon Opioid Settlement Prevention, Treatment, and Recovery Board will decide how to allocate the funds. Previous payouts have gone towards recovery services, harm reduction, prevention, and treatment. Oregon has received about $645 million in court judgments to combat the opioid crisis that was created by pharmaceutical companies. It started from doctors overprescribing prescription painkillers and evolved into rising heroin deaths to the fentanyl crisis of today. Attorney General Rosenblum said in a statement, quote, "This settlement with one of the pharmacy giants in Oregon is a crucial step forward in the rebuilding of trust between Fred Meyer and its pharmacy customers in Oregon." She continued, quote, "The damage done to families, communities, to our state, and our country can never be undone, but we can hold those at fault accountable and make them help pay the costs associated with Oregon's response to the crisis," end quote. In October, the Oregon Health Authority reported 1,416 unintentional overdose deaths in Oregon in 2023, up from 956 the year previous.
President Biden asks Americans to turn down the temperature. House Speaker Mike Johnson promises an aggressive agenda for Trump's first 100 days. And Democratic governors vow to push back on Trump's plan for mass deportations. With more on these stories, it's Catherine Carley with 2024 Talks.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
You can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree.
President Joe Biden is promising a peaceful and orderly transfer of power following the re-election of former President Donald Trump. Speaking from the White House Thursday, Biden said the election should lay to rest any concerns about the integrity of the system, calling it honest, fair, and transparent. Republicans may have won the Senate, but control of the House hangs in the balance, with dozens of races still being counted. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he's confident his party will have the power to implement what he calls Trump's aggressive first 100-day agenda.
I genuinely believe that he could be the most consequential president of the modern era, and our Congress by extension, because we have to fix everything.
Johnson has previously suggested Republicans will eliminate the Affordable Care Act and take a blowtorch to the regulatory state. Democratic governors are vowing to fight some Trump policies, including his plan for mass deportations. Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey says her state police will not be involved. California Governor Gavin Newsom has called a special session to bolster civil liberties and environmental protections. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says his state will remain an ally for all vulnerable communities.
No matter the storm that we face, Illinois will always strive to make you welcome and safe and protected.
Meanwhile, when asked on NBC how much the deportations of millions of people will cost, Trump said the plan has, quote, no price tag. Legal experts predict the judge in Trump's New York hush money case will call off his sentencing planned for later this month. Trump was convicted earlier this year of falsifying business records to cover up payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. New York Attorney General Letitia James, who also brought a civil fraud case against Trump's real estate business, says her team is braced for retribution.
We've been here before. We faced this challenge before. And we use the rule of law to fight back. And we are prepared to fight back once again.
Trump has repeatedly said he plans to fire Special Counsel Jack Smith and end the federal cases against him. Advocates of criminal justice reform in California warn the passage of a proposition aimed at retail theft will mean a sharp reduction in anti-crime initiatives. Cal State political science professor Christopher Hollenbrook says Prop 36 raises the penalties for certain drug and theft crimes, ensuring more people will end up in jail.
The more money you're spending on incarceration, the less money you're spending on other things. That is definitely an accurate assessment of Prop 36, and it seems to be one that voters decided they were okay with.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Counterspin. A brief correction, Marie Glusenkamp Perez won a seat in Washington State District 3 over Republican challenger Joe Kent. This was misstated earlier in the broadcast. We apologize for the error. At 6, it's Rising Up with Sonali. Then at 7, it's Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather will be mostly cloudy with a low of 47 degrees. Tomorrow's weather will be cloudy with showers in the afternoon with a high of 56 degrees. Today in history, physicist Wilhelm Conrad Röntgen discovers X-rays in 1895. The discovery was accidental. Röntgen was working in his lab in Germany, testing whether cathode rays could pass through glass, when he noticed a glow coming from a nearby chemically coated screen. He named them X-rays for their unknown nature. The quote of the day is from Asada Shakur, member of the Black Liberation Army and godmother to Tupac Shakur. She said, quote, "I am about life. I'm gonna live as hard as I can and as full as I can until I die. And I'm not letting these parasites, these oppressors, these greedy racist swine make me kill my children in my mind before they are even born.
Federal officials announced a new round of funding to help tribes access clean drinking water. And, with record-breaking snowfalls and temperatures reaching the negatives, Alaskans prepare months ahead of time for the long, cold winter months. With those stories and more, it's Jill Freitas with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Jill Freitas, filling in for Antonia Gonzalez. Federal officials announced a new round of funding to help tribes access clean drinking water. As Alex Hager reports from the Mountain West News Bureau, that includes nearly $35 million for tribes in Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, and Wyoming.
Across the country, nearly half of all tribal homes do not have access to reliable clean drinking water. This money, which comes from the Inflation Reduction Act, is part of a federal effort to change that. The Ute Mountain Ute tribe in Colorado and the San Carlos Apache tribe in Arizona are among those getting money to plan, build, and maintain pipelines and water treatment plants. The Biden administration says this pool of money will help it stay on track with a goal to give 40% of its climate spending to marginalized communities. This comes as tribes in the Southwest are asking for a bigger say in talks about how to use the Colorado River. They've been largely excluded from negotiations about the river since the earliest days of its management. I'm Alex Hager.
Alaskan winters are some of the coldest winters in the world. With record-breaking snowfalls and temperatures reaching the negatives, Alaskans prepare months ahead of time for the long, cold winter months. For some people, even staying warm becomes a challenge and is the reality for many veterans living in Alaska, including Native veterans. Jesse Lakin is a combat veteran who served two deployments in Iraq. After his service, he moved to Alaska and started volunteering for organizations such as the National Wild Turkey Federation and helped create a nonprofit called Battle Dogs, helping veterans suffering from PTSD and addiction. A few years after Lakin moved to Alaska, he spoke to an Alaska State Trooper who said he had just delivered firewood to a veteran and told him of the dire situation many veterans face in Alaska.
He's responded to four deaths at that point that he knew were veterans, telling me that he was frustrated because there wasn't really anything in place to help seniors with snow removal and firewood. And what we found was veterans like to isolate. They don't have anybody checking on them.
Lakin says the four veterans who died all showed signs of struggle when they were found. They had burned all of their wood furniture and their oven doors were found open, indicating they tried to warm their homes with the oven. He said he knew he had to do something.
There was no real tracking system here in the state. Nobody's really paying attention to that, and there was no program designed to support them. So we got proactive. We started thinking about how to help, and we created the Matsu Winter Preparedness Project.
The project started out small, with Lakin and some veteran friends reaching out to other veterans to deliver firewood and remove snow from by their home. He soon changed the name to the Alaska Warrior Partnership. Here is Lakin talking about one of his experiences.
When we found him, he was barely moving. He had his dog inside of his jacket, and then I think every piece of clothing on him possible. Hadn't had fire in like 3 days, and it was negative 40 degrees.
But the story has a happy ending.
We provided firewood, we got him warmed up, and then we took him to the hospital, and then we provided him firewood and snow removal for the rest of the winter, and we took care of him and then got him off the program, got him moved into a better house in town.
Lakin says he's responded to many residences in similar situations. More information about the program is posted on the American Warrior Partnership Facebook page. And now for a correction for a story that aired Thursday in which we misidentified a quote in a story about Alaska Representative Mary Peltola's bid for re-election. The quote was not from her opponent, Nick Begich, but his uncle, former U.S. Senator Mark Begich. I'm Jill Freitas.
Active listening can be a key part of effective communication, but it's not typically taught in New Mexico's classrooms or those in other states. And if kids don't know how to talk about topics they disagree on, they usually become adults who can't navigate polarizing conversations, evidenced in the run-up to the election. Roz Brown has more on the story.
If the election season made one thing clear, it's that neither side can hear what the other is saying. And one expert believes it's because most of us weren't taught active listening in school. Christine Miles says only about 2% of schools offer formal listening skill development programs, which can handicap our success as adults. Miles believes too many of us listen half-heartedly, keen to share our thoughts or arguments the minute the other person stops talking.
This is not new. Since 1957, there's been talk about the fact that there's not formal education in schools on listening. And the reason I think it hasn't been solved is because listening has been notoriously hard.
Research shows students from kindergarten through 12th grade spend 50 to 75% of their classroom time listening, yet comprehend only 25 to 50% of what they hear. According to Miles, who has created a classroom program on listening, when it comes to politics, it's rarely effective to argue someone into adopting your position. Miles believes technology is partly to blame for poor listening. Kids spend so many hours on their electronic devices, Miles says some develop a natural form of attention deficit disorder, even if they don't have ADD biochemically.
What the technology has done is made our brains even more impatient and more distracted than they already were. And if we don't help them learn how to have conversations about things they disagree about, how will they learn how to manage that?
Miles says becoming an adult without good listening skills can impact both academic success and social-emotional learning. To develop better skills, experts recommend being fully present in a conversation, showing interest by practicing good eye contact, asking open-ended questions, paraphrasing and reflecting back what has been said, and withholding judgment and advice. This is Roz Brown, New Mexico News Connection.
In 2020, Portland voters approved Measure 26214 that allocated tax dollars toward a universal child care program called Preschool for All in Multnomah County. But the auditor says that money isn't getting spent properly. Multnomah County Auditor Jennifer McGuirk says the program is out of compliance. The measure said funds would be distributed so that before and after care would be available to eligible families, up to 10 hours of tuition-free child care. But the auditor's office says all families are receiving 10 hours of tuition-free care, not just the ones eligible by income. The county says it did nothing wrong. County Chair Jessica Vega Peterson said, quote, "In this policy area, we believe the dollars for before and after care are being expended as voters intended, and that current practice aligns with the intent of the law," end quote. The measure has been controversial since its inception. The funds come from a 1.5% income tax on households earning more than $200,000 and 3% on families earning more than $400,000. The program is supposed to prioritize low-income families, families of color, and children with developmental needs. So, by providing 10 hours of tuition-free care to all families regardless of need or eligibility, the auditor and others say the implementation waters down that purpose. County spokesperson Ryan Yambra told the Willamette Week, quote, "Most families, regardless of income, need access to full-day, year-round services, and that is what the majority of Preschool for All programs offer," end quote. County Commissioners Sharon Myron and Julia Brim Edwards say they do not agree with Vega Peterson and that it's important to be specific about the county's use of funds.
Farmers may find relief in newly revised federal loan programs aiming to provide better financial support. However, advocates urge that without legislative action, these positive changes might not last, highlighting the need for the Fair Credit for Farmers Act. Shantia Hudson has more on the story.
Georgia farmer Valicia Jackson says one of the most impactful changes is the introduction of flexible repayment terms. She believes this improvement is crucial for those who have struggled under the previous system.
I think the flexible repayment terms, that is going to be major because, again, you're talking about a population of farmers and landowners who often lost acreage because they missed A, payment.
She says another major benefit is having new guidance to help people navigate through the application process, such as the addition of online tutorials and educational resources. She and Tia Hudson reporting.
Financial experts say Americans are dealing with a retirement savings crisis. A patchwork of states has responded by creating public-private initiatives to help more private sector workers. They can't access a savings plan through their job and need to set aside money for later in life. Minnesota is among those states trying this approach. Mike Moen reports.
Roughly 30% of Minnesota's private sector employees don't have a work-sponsored retirement plan. Some business owners and consumer advocates hope a soon-to-launch state program will improve access. In mid to late 2025, Minnesota is expected to roll out its Secure Choice retirement program. For employers who aren't in a position to provide a savings plan for their staff, they'll be required to ensure a portion of a worker's paycheck is transferred to a state-sponsored retirement account. Eric Forsberg owns a handful of restaurants in the Twin Cities area and says for hospitality workers, this benefit usually isn't in their orbit when they're first hired.
You know, when you start a typical corporate position, you sit down with HR and they explain your benefits package. You know, most of our employees just don't have access to that.
Economic data show that wage growth has been strong for these workers. Forsberg says tacking on a retirement plan could convince more of them to stay longer. He says that helps small business owners reduce hiring costs. Employers don't have to contribute to the fund, and Forsberg hopes the program maintains a mission of not overburdening businesses as they prepare for other mandates like Minnesota's paid leave law. On November 13th, AARP Minnesota will host a webinar in hopes of providing more details to business owners about the new retirement program. The organization's Mary Jo George says those involved in shaping this effort do want to keep this simple for employers.
One of the things that we keep hearing is that small employers, all employers, they really do want to offer a retirement plan, but it's been very costly and it's been an administrative burden.
In addition to not having a match requirement, legislative researchers say there are no fees for employers except for any incidental costs in modifying payroll systems. Similar programs have taken shape in nearly 20 states, and Oregon officials say early success resulted in strong public backing via polling data. George says in Minnesota, they hope to give more people the chance to retire with dignity if they start saving much earlier in their working career.
And we know that when you can do it automatically out of your paycheck, workers are 20 times more likely to save.
This is Mike Moen for Minnesota News Connection.
It's officially fall. And with the change of the season comes an increased demand on lawn equipment. Arizona PERG Education Fund's new interactive map helps you find programs and incentives in the state to make the switch to electric lawn tools. With more on the story, it's Alex Gonzalez.
It's finally cooling down in Arizona, and that means more leaves on the ground as well as heightened use of lawn equipment to keep Arizona properties looking their best. Arizona PERG Education Fund has released an interactive map that shows the more than 200 policies and programs in Arizona and around the country that aim to slash air pollution and cut back on the noise produced from gas-powered equipment. The group's Diane Brown says programs in both Pima and Maricopa counties provide vouchers to residents who turn in their gas-powered lawn equipment to be recycled. They then can more easily purchase and make the switch to newer electric tools. She adds that gas-powered equipment has a significant and direct negative impact on air quality and public health.
One of the key findings that is important for Arizonans to know is that running a commercial gas leaf blower for just 1 hour produces as much smog-forming pollution as driving a car from Phoenix to Dallas.
Brown believes state and local governments should lead by example, using electric equipment for their landscaping needs, as well as growing the number of programs and incentives around the state. Brown says major hardware stores have made strong commitments to provide more electric lawn equipment options. In a 2023 report, Lowe's claims it has helped its customers transition to battery-operated products, accounting for more than 60% of lawn equipment sales, excluding riding lawnmowers. And in the U.S. and Canada, the Home Depot says it's set to meet its goal that 85% of outdoor equipment sales be electric by 2028. Brown says their interactive map shows the transition is a growing priority across the country.
It isn't just the coastal states that have programs and policies in place. Utah, Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas, Texas have programs in addition to Maricopa and Pima counties.
Brown contends local and state governments should also create or bolster programs to help more commercial landscapers afford the upfront costs of the electric equipment they use on a daily basis to improve air quality and save money due to lower maintenance and fuel costs. For Arizona News Connection, I'm Alex Gonzalez.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News for Friday, November 8th, 2024. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Sam Bowman, Althea Billings, and Eliza Yurkov. The producer is Eliza Yurkov. And our engineer is Jasmine Moss. Special thanks to Shantae Hudson, Jill Freitas, Catherine Carley, Roz Brown, Mike Moen, Alex Gonzalez, and Crystal Blair. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Sam Bowman.
And I'm Eliza Yurkov. Can you believe all of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our wonderful members? If you would like to become a wonderful member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for Counterspin.